Hello and welcome to the Second Funnies podcast. I began talking earlier in hopes that this will not cut off prematurely, and I can finish my intro before the end of this song. I do like my 2013 idea of doing what sounds like a horrible Native American accent. I am your host, Justin Worsham. This is episode 504. With me, as always, is the one, the only. It has been said that he turned Constantinople into Istanbul. It's the KevinMiller.com. Jump and press circle button.
Yeehaw! What's up, rootin' tootin' red boy?
Yeah, why are you Native American?
I don't know. Because
that song is about the Turks.
No, I know. There's something about the way that this song made me talk. I didn't do it on purpose. I just was like, I just noticed that every time I'd start the show, I go, hello and welcome.
It's Ted Koppel.
What it made me think of is that Parks and Rec episode.
Yeah. That was fantastic.
Yeah, it was great. I love that show.
That guy knows how to run white people like a fiddle.
So Google has this new sweet app that's smarter than Siri ever was in its dizziest dream. Have you played with this at all?
I have not.
It's amazing. Here, you got my feet up. Here. So you can ask it stuff like, when was The Matrix released?
The Matrix was released in the United States on March 31st, 1999.
I mean, come on. That's pretty sweet. Watch this. Who was the third president of the United States? Actually, I don't know if I got this one earlier. It'll just Google it. Yeah, it doesn't know. Who is the voice of Sly Cooper?
Kevin Miller is mentioned in results below.
What up now?
Wow.
I'm in Google's brain.
Wow.
Who is the voice of the second funniest podcast?
Ooh.
No, I didn't get it. Who is the host of the second funniest podcast? No, it doesn't get it. It just pulls up our website.
There's two of us.
Yeah, it does.
Ask it who played Jimmy Kimmel in Not Another Celebrity Movie.
Who played Jimmy Kimmel in Not Another Celebrity Movie? Who is the star of How I Met Your Mother?
Here is the cast of How I Met Your Mother.
Oh, that's pretty handy.
That's pretty nice.
It's all right
there.
There they are.
Ask them what time it is.
No, that's easy. What time is it?
The time is 8:35 p.m.
Watch this. What is 3,612 times 2.186? Oh, didn't do it. What is 400 times 9,012?
The answer is 3,604,800.
Did you know that?
I did not.
Google did.
Wow.
Siri, take that.
I want to see if Google knows the rumored Xbox 720 specs.
Oh, let's see. What are Xbox 720 specs? What would you do? There it is. Oh, 8 gigabytes of RAM.
Oh, that's all it knows?
Then there's our article.
Because Yahoo News tells us console gamers frustrated that their Xbox isn't holding up well compared to high-end PCs can relax a bit because it looks like the next generation Xbox is going to be a monster. It seems that website VGleaks, or VGLeaks, I think is the way that's supposed to be said, has gotten a hold of leaked specifications for the Xbox 720, which it says will include an 8-core 1.6 gigahertz processor, 8 gigabytes of RAM, an 800 megahertz graphics processor, a 50 gigabyte 6X Blu-ray disk drive, and gigabyte Ethernet connectivity. The leaked specifications are in line with previous rumors that also gave the next generation Xbox an 8-core processor and 8 gigabytes of RAM. So there's nothing overly surprising about the VG Leaks report. The Xbox 720 will likely be announced at E3 Gaming Convention this June.
No.
And will be released in the fall.
Incorrect. That is wrong, Yahoo. Google knew better. So both Xbox, or both Microsoft and Sony, are planning pre E3 around the time of GDC in March, private expos in the vein of Apple to release their own product
their own
to talk about their consoles, which makes sense because if they both, Like, it's almost like they agreed on it separately. Like, okay, well, if we both release our consoles on the same day at the same time, we're going to be competing for information. Let's do it on our own terms in our own way with our own conference and with our own marketing, and so we don't have to hedge it around each other. And then software and other specs, and you probably won't be able to touch it until E3, or no one will be able to look at it until then.
Well, it's smart because then it is touchable, like, as opposed to it just being a part of a keynote.
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
We get to watch four or five actors stumble through it.
You know, and I'm excited for it. We talked about this a lot last year about if before E3, if they were going to launch a PS4 or Xbox, Nextbox, as I like to call it, that I would have felt cheated and robbed. And I feel like now I feel saturated. I feel satiated, rather, in the library of games that I have. I feel like, now we're at a point, 8 years is a nice life cycle for a generation of a dedicated computer for a gaming, and I think we can see some really significant technology upgrades that wouldn't have just been some gimmicks and a little higher res or a little bigger processor. Like, now I think it'll be like PS2 to PS3, a big jump in technology that I'm excited to see what the next gen will produce.
Yeah, well, it says they talked about, I have another article here, that's the PlayStation 4 and Xbox 720 could cost just $350, expected to launch this fall.
That would be great.
Is that, I feel like that, like, would they normally unveil, like, a next-generation console and then release it that fall for Christmas?
I think that this time there's an arms race going through. From the articles that I've read, that they, you know, PlayStation was last in the current generation cycle. Like, they came out almost a year after everybody else. Everybody had counted them out. And now they kind of run the gambit. You know, they at least hold their own. Like, they found their own niche.
Yeah, that's the only reason why I think I have an Xbox, is because by the time I wanted to get it, the other was too expensive.
Yeah. So now, you mean a PlayStation?
No, I own an Xbox because now it's time.
Yeah.
The Xbox was too affordable and the PlayStation was brand new. So I was like, I can't swing it.
The reports I were reading were PlayStation was saying, no, we really want to make an effort to be out, not last. Because if in this generation cycle, if the Wii U is this generation, which I think you'd have to say it is, then, you know, between PlayStation and Microsoft, there's only second and third left.
Yeah.
And that, I think PlayStation really wants to be competitive in that market. That's exciting. Do you have anything that talks about the PS4 or what they think their specs will be?
No, nothing that I could find here. It just says that says here, are both expected to announce their next generation gaming consoles at the Electronics Entertainment Expo in June or even a little before then. While we have seen rumored specs for both PlayStation 4 and Xbox 720, one thing that has escaped us is a possible price tag. In a research note to investors on Monday, Colin Sebastian of Baird Equity Research suggested that both consoles could retail for between $350 and $400 in the U.S. Games Industry International report. Skipped a line. Games International reported on that. I see. The analyst revealed that during the Consumer Electronics Show last week, he spent time with a number of companies involved in video game development and distribution who informed him that the next generation consoles will be largely built from the off-the-shelf high-end PC components,
right,
along with hybrid physical/digital distribution models, enhanced voice controls and motion sensing, and broad multimedia capabilities. Sebastian believes that a PC-based architecture, Intel chips in the base of Xbox, should have a number of advantages over custom-developed silicon. In his opinion, there will be less of a learning curve for software developers compared to completely new technology, and the cost of production and retail price points should be lower than prior console launches. Microsoft launched the Xbox 360 in 2005 with a top-end price of $399, while Sony released the PlayStation 3 a year later for $499 and $599, respectively.
That's just crazy talk.
It will be easier to build online services around PC chip architecture, including flexible business models, free-to-play subscriptions, and multimedia over-the-top content offerings, the analyst said. For Microsoft, this design will also allow for more integration with Windows 8 and Windows mobile devices. Sebastian expects Sony to launch the PlayStation 4 in October and Microsoft to launch the Xbox 720 in November.
And they won't call it a 720. I wish we'd stop calling it that.
You don't think so?
Nah, it's a terrible name. Why would you call it a 720?
Because it's the next logical step.
Yeah, but see, 360 wasn't the next logical step. They did that as clever marketeers because the PlayStation 3, to sound competitive with it, they couldn't release an they couldn't release the Xbox 2. They're like, well, so wouldn't I want a PlayStation 3? It's a better model.
I found the specs for the PlayStation 4.
Hit us!
With gamers getting antsy for next-generation consoles, VG247 is reporting that development kits for Sony's PlayStation 4, codenamed Orbis, have already been sent out to developers. VG247 sources claim there are four versions of the dev kit, and one just shipped out is a modified PC-based AMD's or A10 APU accelerated processing unit that combines a CPU and GPU on a single chip to run games in 1080p resolution at 60 frames per second in 3D without any slowdown. Dev kits are said to have been have between 8 gigabytes and 16 gigabytes of RAM, 256 gigabytes of storage. It's not clear if that's the SSD or a hard drive. An optical drive for Blu-ray playback, and all the standard inputs, outputs found on the PlayStation 3, including HDMI, Ethernet, and Wi-Fi. But before you fall off your seat, do remember that dev kits often have higher specs and more RAM for debugging purposes. The final product might be less powerful. VG247's report also says that the dev kits aren't made in Japan, a first, and are designed with a UI that allows users to easily jump in and out of open games and applications and install updates in the background. The PlayStation 4 will reportedly be very affordable. BGR exclusively reported in August that the PlayStation 4 would run games and video content at 4K resolution. VG247 says it believes the PS4 will be announced before E3 2013.
Yeah, I think that that's a really good indicator of the marketplace, because in 2005, I didn't realize that the PlayStation 3 had a sticker price of $600.
That's why I bought an Xbox. I was hardcore PlayStation, and the only reason I got the Xbox is that it was $200 cheaper.
Yeah,
and you could get the same games that I wanted to play.
To imagine asking a consumer in this current market to spend $600 on a dedicated console machine just won't happen.
One of the things that I think is interesting about
that... $500, you get an iPad. And a top of the line, amazing all in one machine that's okay.
Mm-hmm. Well, but one of the things that I think that they kept selling with the PlayStation, remember, was that it came with a Blu-ray drive.
Yeah,
remember when the original Xbox 360?
Story, Justin.
Will you please stop using the restroom? Or...
this is really good.
My son does that so much. So
that's funny. Why you went there first. That's interesting.
That's because that's my flashback.
That's right. Regular.
But what they kept saying, well, you don't have to get a Blu-ray player. So that's why we're charging you $200 more, is that you also get where the Xbox had an external Blu-ray player that you had to plug in.
And an external Blu-ray DVD or
HDD drive. Yeah.
HD DVD.
Oh, that's right. Remember,
alternative.
Remember HD DVDs.
Yeah.
I just bought my dad last year for, not this last Christmas, but the one before that. Or maybe it was his birthday. Yeah, this last year for his birthday, a Blu-ray player.
Yeah.
Because he still had an HD DVD player.
Nice.
And it loaded forever. Yeah, it's so archaic and clunky.
It's so funny how every generation of new media playback has a rival that just is embarrassingly bad.
Well, my dad is kind of like you, where he's an early adopter, and it was so funny that he was like...
That's true. You don't know which side you're going to land on.
Yeah, he was so proud. This is one of the few times it broke
Laserdisc.
It was one of the few times it broke bad where he was like, you know what? I'm going to buckle down. I'm going to get an HD DVD player. And literally, within 3 months, that's when they said, everybody's going to make Blu-ray.
Yeah.
everybody except for Warner Brothers is like, we're all making it. And then Warner Brothers is like, well, damn. Like, let's see. Right. Here we go.
Yeah, that's right. That didn't last long either. Yeah.
But I like that they, I think that it's interesting that they are looking at how much downloadable content is happening and that's almost... now driving the hardware.
Yeah.
You know, like, where I think what they're kind of saying is that we had that producer who was talking to us about the reason why he was making all the, when Sega lost the Dreamcast and they were making that Jet Grind Radio or Jet Set Future is what they were doing. But we said, well, why not make it both platforms? And he said, well, you have to spend like $50,000 just to go into the PlayStation, figure out what it can do. How do you program for it? Whereas an Xbox, if you know how to program for a computer, you know how to program for it. So he said, it just makes sense financially for us. And I was like, wow, that sucks if you're Sony. And now, because the market is saying, we're buying our games digitally, and even the developers, I'm sure, love it because you don't have that expense. I know for me, like selling my CD, I would much rather everybody buy it digitally.
But see, I think that that's early adopt. That's the marketplace trying to early adopt a model that I don't think is mainstream, because brick and mortar stores still have the consumers over a barrel, right? Because if you if I want to buy a present for you, I can't get it digitally. Right, and if I want to, I want you to see you. I want to see
sure
you.
Sure, you can.
Yeah, but if I want to watch you, you unwrap a present
at any grocery store, I could get you a PSN network card.
Yeah, but it's not the same. Like if I'm your parents, mm-hmm. if I'm your girlfriend, and I want to get you something, I bought you something, I bought it, I went to the store, I wrapped it up. I want to see you unwrap this gift. I want you to have it in your hand, and I think that's still a big thing. And the marketplace of like having a kid wander through the store and spontaneously.
You're saying you feel this way, or are you saying most people?
No, I think this is still in the market. I've had to check myself because I thought the same thing. Like next generation, I've said it before. Next generation consoles, all cloud gaming, all digital marketplace, giant hard drives, no readable disc drive. Like just get that off the thing. Let me download all the games. And I've talked to some guys in the industry, and they're like, well, the stores are still where they were making the money. The stores are still where people are buying and selling games, because people are still going to want to buy a hard copy of it.
See, I feel that the developers are going to be more in tune with letting it, like what you say, go all cloud.
Yeah.
Because there is no money loss.
No, don't get me wrong. They're going to push it.
I'm saying that they're going to force it. They're going to force the issue, and people are going to give. I think it's going to be the other way around. I think that they've already got people leaning towards it, mm-hmm. right? And that's why they're saying that we got to make a processor that is easily compatible with all these. It has to work the internet, so it has to have some kind of PC element to it, right? So I think that what they're going to do is they're going to say this is the way it is, because it makes the most sense financially to them, because guys like me don't get to buy the game and then sell it. And so now instead of paying $60 for Assassin's Creed 3, I only pay $25 for it. That's what just did.
Don't get me wrong. I think we as consumers and those of us who have bought into the marketplace or bought into the world of gaming,
I don't want it because I like the idea of being able to get a $60 game for $25.
Right, and you can sell it back. But I mean, I get that. It makes a lot of sense in the world of gaming if you're the developer to do this thing. But I don't think that we are the prime market for consumers. Like we're kind of on the fringe.
I see.
You know, we're the gamers. It makes a ton of sense to us, and it's working on the iPhone and other places. But I think for the state of the console gaming, especially when, I mean, Skylanders did kind of break the mold. I mean, it's the opposite of DLC.
Well, and we're still at a point where you're limited by your hard drive space.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, unless they work it into where you can have like and then if that's the case, then there's probably going to be ways around it. But like, what if it becomes like a jump drive? Like it's a download that you could put, then keep on. Cause I was like, what about guys like you that like to keep their library?
Yeah.
You only get so much space on a hard drive.
I like to keep my library, but I hate having to get up and change games.
Oh, like, I do too.
I love being able to
hate it, but
Yeah, but I find like the games that are on my hard drive that I've downloaded are the games I play more often, cause they're just sitting there. And I'm like, I'm done with that.
Oh, I think that a lot with the Vita where I'm like, oh, if I could just, I shouldn't, instead of buying the Madden packet, I should have just got, because I knew I was going to play Madden, I should have just downloaded Madden, because then I didn't would never have to have the game with me. I could just touch it.
Always.
And play it.
Every time. Yeah. It's much better. But I think that it's clear that the consumer side of it is that the store still, as much as it seems like brick and mortar stores on the way out, Amazon is on its way out, there's still a lot of people shopping that way. In 10 years, that might be different. You know, maybe at the end of this generation cycle, we can have another conversation. Episode 1000.
We're not going to be able to talk until the generation?
Yeah, well, this has been fun. We'll see you in 8 years.
That's an interesting topic. I don't know if we have time for that. That made me think, what do you honestly think?
Yeah.
Like, here's the thing
I
don't think.
I often honestly think.
Thank you. That's all I want to know. That's all I was trying to
ask
you.
I'm an honest person.
I just, then answer the question.
Yes.
Yes, what, Kevin?
Twice. I agree.
Twice what?
I agree with everything.
No, don't just agree. Answer the question.
Okay. Did I do it?
Well, you know, we've been doing this show now. We've finished 4 years. We're going into year number 5. And what do you think would happen if we stopped doing the show? If this really was
not the question I thought you were going to ask.
Our last episode. Do you think there would be, like, here's what I think.
Questions. Are you kidding? On Facebook, I get questions every day this year. When's the show coming back? When's your hiatus over? Why did I miss episodes? Where are they?
People, that's what I'm saying.
People miss us. People love us.
And it's interesting because I don't, for me at least, I don't think about that. Like, I just, like, we do this because you and I sit and talk anyway.
Yep.
We entertain ourselves when we talk to each other. Yep. Why not record it? And if there's other people entertained,
there's actually times where I want to tell you something and I wait before we're, there's times where we're hanging out before and I'm like, Sifta, don't even bring it up. And so sometimes we have a little, like, lull in the conversation, and that's why I'm waiting. The microphones will be out soon. I'll get real later.
I'll keep going. It's not we're talking to him right now.
Just wait. Keep all that energy. Got to bottle it up.
We should have our own morning show. That's what we should do.
Every day. Could we do this every day? We need a producer.
No, we couldn't do this. We bah, couldn't have a bah, 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 we could bah. Do a video game morning show, I don't think, every day.
No, yeah, we could do
something. Well, if we had here's the thing.
Hit me.
If we had 10,000 listeners instead of the, I think we're just above 1,000 right now.
Yeah.
If we had 10,000 listeners, it would be easy for us to provide content because these developers would be coming to us.
Yes, I love
it. We would have enough of a market share that they would be able to promote their products and get them.
Everybody download the show 10 more times than you are now.
Oh my God, Kevin. I am angry that we have never thought of we had to have joked about this, but honestly, I'll tell you a little story.
Yeah.
For anybody who thinks that because I don't know how many of these 1,000 likes are real profiles that we have on Facebook, right?
A lot. We keep growing. Yeah.
And I'm happy to grow, but when Bill left my other podcast, we became one of the hot podcasts on the parenting genre because what happened was I told everybody, I said, in about a month, I'm going to pull all the old episodes down. I will hang on to them.
You Facebook lady'd.
I did, but I did it for real. Like, I really pulled everything down. And so everybody went, what happens is that when you take 1,000 people and they all go back and download, you know, 150 episodes again, all at the same time in a 2-day span, the ratings just spike and you become this hot thing that gets on the home. We were on the homepage, or not the homepage, the homepage for kids and family podcasts on iTunes. And I thought, it's over. We're going to be discovered now. But you have to be there for a lot longer than just 3 days. That's what I had. And then it all just petered away into nothing. But if
I think there's something we can do.
But if everybody here started downloading this podcast at least 10 times, or going, like, erasing.
When we had the cast of Sly 4, that was one of the highest downloaded episodes we've ever done, right?
If they erase all their old episodes that they've kept in their iTunes and then go back and re-download every episode.
At the same minute.
Because that's what, Bill and I did 100 episodes. Yep. You and I have easily done 300.
Yeah,
easy.
No, it's a 250? I don't know. 200. 225. Yeah.
I like it.
Done. I'm sold. So, tell me what the Xbox 1440 and the PS5 is going to be like, and the Wii U cog, or whatever. They're just going to keep adding words to it till it makes less and less sense. No,
other vowels. It'd be the Wii U.
Wii U. Yep, yeah, probably.
the Wii U. Us.
Yep. Wii U them.
Wii U are.
Right. So what's the Wii U are?
What
us,
if that
them,
was
God?
Really their intent was they were trying to construct a sentence.
What is the Wii U stand
Wii
for?
U
over time. Like,
I really think it was meant to be inclusive. We've talked about this on the show.
I'm sure. So what is the Wii U 2 got?
Well, it's gonna feed the hungry. That's number one.
Yeah.
It's gonna help out some kids in Africa.
Yeah. Okay. It's going to coexist.
Is there a sadder Christmas song than There's No Christmas in
All
Africa?
All of the Christmas songs are sad.
All of them?
Christmas songs.
Jingle Bells?
The classic upbeat songs are okay, but every other song is like, I'll be home for Christmas, if only in my dreams. I mean, they're all like, it sounds like somebody died. Like, you could easily take the same song and apply it to something.
But tragic. I just feel like, is there Christmas? There's No Christmas in Africa.
Yeah, that's pretty on the
nose. That's got to be on the top of the show.
Listen, anyway. January boy, it's your birthday. Wii U, I think, is going to have, I think it's going to be a full bodysuit that you have to wear. This actually might happen in the Wii U.
Now, hold on.
It's like a jacket you put on, and then you're like, but the sleeves are screens.
I want to see the E3 so that we can have some cheesy guy, some corporate MC come out and go, you remember the power glove.
Yeah, that's it. That's it.
Like, now what we have the technology to really make it happen.
Here are the power pants. That's the thing with the Wii. The Nintendo stuff, they go like so far out that, like when they had that one game for the Wii where you just had to figure out what to do with the Wiimote to advance. Like, it's a phone. Pick it up. Hello? And it knew what you were doing. That's what they come up with, all these weird peripherals. It's going to be like a hat with a propeller on it.
Like, spin it plus. Spin, and that's how you play Ace Combat.
Yeah, I don't know how it works. It's fantastic. It's gonna be a couple coins that you keep in your pocket, and you don't know you're playing Mario Brothers the whole time.
I feel like the PlayStation, what number will that be?
PlayStation 5.
5? So
in the year 2020.
So it'll be 2020. The PlayStation 5, I think, will come with real weapons. That's what I think. Because I was trying to think, if the Wii U thing is weird clothing.
Yeah.
I was trying to think of what the place, and I think the PlayStation is kind of known for like hardcore gaming of
for
like
adults.
Yeah, it's more of an adult console.
You can use it as a gun.
Yeah.
Or a candlestick, but it's also,
I like where you go
game
with that, because their whole thing was like, this is going to replace your entertainment center, and it's also going to be your home security device.
No, I like it. So the Vita is never stop playing, and the real thing is like always
never stop surviving. Yeah. There's got to be a zombie apocalypse actually, by the time PlayStation 5 comes out.
When you get the thing, either a zombie will come out or a giant bug, some sort of monster that you must kill on a regular basis.
I like it.
So I think that stands to reason that the Xbox is actually just a computer.
Yeah. Which I really think.
I don't know.
We gave
you web browsing. You can check Facebook on
this. But my laptop does that.
Yeah, but this is the Xbox 1440.
It's 2020. Those are in my sunglasses.
Yeah, no, it's great.
And what if they made it look like an old tower PC? Yeah. Like, it's gotten bigger.
It's retro. You don't need controllers when you have a mouse and keyboard in your living room.
I like this timeline where the whole idea of advancing for the Xbox is just become a computer.
Wait a minute. You didn't see. Microsoft wins again.
I think as much as you're joking, I really do.
I feel like everything we've said is going to come true.
I really think that it makes more sense. I'm saying it goes the other way. That really what you could do is more computing things on your Xbox.
Right. Oh,
what I mean? Like, I think you'll be able to have, like, an email browser and a web browser.
I think we saw that at the last E3. Microsoft spent a lot of time talking about their Windows Glass and the peripherals that they were building to make it more like an office. It, like, no matter what Microsoft does, they're like, but we need to include Excel in this. What are we going to do? How are you going to check your Hotmail?
What are you going to do if you need to budget?
It's right now.
I just want to kill some
budget. Check this out.
Bullets are free,
cell.
My friend.
Delete frame. But the fourth console is this new Steam Box. Have we talked about this at
all?
No.
We talked about Steam, but not the Steam Box.
So the Steam Box was supposed to be this really great thing, and then it turns out that they're like, oh, it's just a regular old computer. That's really great. But it's supposed to do some, you know, interface with the Steam library. But the thing that is fascinating about it is that it is able to interlock with other Steam boxes, so you can get several of them, and then they can like daisy network chain together, and then you get more power behind them. So the stuff that I read on Gamasutra and GDC was talking about, like, there was all this hype for this new Valve box that they were working on, and then it essentially was just a really small computer in your hand.
They talk about Valve and Steam in this Indie Gamer documentary, where they say that, you know, everybody's like, well, in order to get your game out there wasn't really an area unless you just played it in a web-based browser, or people got it for their PC. And then what Valve did was they created Steam as a way of saying, listen, we don't need the consoles. We don't need the major developers. We're going to put out what we want to put out.
Right.
And then that became kind of popular enough that the consoles kind of followed suit. Yeah. And that's what opened the marketplace up to like an iTunes App Store.
Yeah.
So
it'll be interesting. I think this might be, I'll just say it now, the naivete of the past. Oh, 2020, how you laugh at me. But I think this is going to be kind of the last era of the console gaming system. I think that
in 2020?
I think this upcoming of generations, I think we can see the convergence of technology starting to get to a point where and people aren't willing to. You okay? I think your washer.
Did you hear that too?
Yeah, I think the washer's rolling down your stairs right now.
Oh, that's what happens when my wife gets domestic.
Oh, I'm gonna do all the rugs.
Know your roles, ladies. Know your roles. Evidently, this is not hers.
She makes millions. So I think that we could see a convergence of technology, and the dedicated consoles and dedicated gaming machines may be going the way of the past. This might be the end of that heyday, and it's a 30-year-old at this point. It's a 30-year-old marketplace. And we see it happening with iPhones. The phones are getting more dedicated or more advanced. TVs have firmware in them where you have smart TVs now that can.
My TV needs an upgrade. Yeah. I don't understand that.
And it can get the internet. Like, you can get a TV now that can surf the web without another box and such. And so we'll see. You know, your car can broadcast Wi-Fi now. Is that
that's a thing?
That's a thing. There are cars that have their own Wi-Fi capability. So as we see more and more of this stuff come down, I think that we'll see less and less. I mean, PlayStation will still be a brand. Xbox will still be a brand. What format it is in, like an actual box, I have a hard time seeing, especially when you got people like Sony making televisions. It makes sense for them to be like, let's just stick all this technology into the TV.
It comes down to a branding of entertainment.
Yeah.
It's like a
network.
It's less about the branding of video games. Yep. And more about the branding of how I choose to entertain myself, which would mean that's going to be really hard. That's a difficult market for Nintendo. Nintendo, in your model, I think, goes the way of the Dreamcast.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And that they go, we don't, like, Microsoft has all of computing.
Yep.
Sony has all of entertainment. Yep. You know what I mean? And so they're like, we got this. We're all over Nintendo.
You know, that's an American audience. I think we got somebody from Japan. They tell us how important games are to their culture. It's mainstream. It's not just, like, something fun to do on the side. Gaming is a lifestyle in Japan. And so maybe Nintendo will just shoot.
So Nintendo could be almost like Apple in that they're an offshoot. And instead of just making gaming, they start making PCs.
But as we know, that Apple, it plans to get into the television market, and that could uproot it. Like everything I just said about how Sony would make TVs with PlayStation hardware installed in them, I think that's what Apple wants to do in the next couple of years. And we saw that on, they did a report on that on NBC's 30 Rock or whatever that show is. So it's an exciting time to be a techno nerd.
Yeah. I don't know why I got creepy.
When are you not creepy? My last question. Who did you say was really hot last week or earlier in the thing?
Jennifer Goodwin and Jennifer Lawrence.
Do you think my character in Guild Wars 2 is hotter or less hot
than those ladies?
Yeah.
Here's the thing.
Let me turn her around.
I like a lady with a little substance to her. Her waist is a little thin for me.
Yeah, she does. This isn't the best.
I like a chick that could plow a field.
Go on.
So that then I can plow her field. You
she's
know
got a little more meat on her bones.
Yeah, right. I like it. She's a little tall for me, but I could go Amazonian on that.
All right.
Yeah.
She's Norse, but it's cool.
Give us a call, 408-228-4911. Send us an email to show@secondfunniestpodcast.com. Hey, let's do that thing. Let's try everybody downloading the episode. And by episode, I mean the entire library of Second Funniest Podcast. And let's just see what happens. Unless, of course, you live in a rural area where data limits apply. I'm having a good friend, Kim Lerner. So, there you go. Okay, bye.